right, hey, welcome back. Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN, asking your thoughts on the horrific actions over the weekend in Israel, where we have seen hundreds, if not thousands, killed, thousands injured, and among the injured, 11 Americans killed in the attacks as well. 803-0930, star 930. Also asking you if when you see something like this, do you ever think that that sort of thing could happen in America? You know, like I said, I used to think we were untouchable. Then 9/11 happened. But I think a lot of people think America is untouchable. I wish that was the case. What do you feel when you see something like that? Do you get those fears that sort of thing could happen here in America? 803-0930, star 930, going right down the line. Gary in Orchard Park, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Joe. I wanted to tell you that the conflict that you're seeing in Israel is you really don't understand it until you're actually there. As some of the previous callers have said, you know, we've had conflict there for hundreds of years. But when you go to Israel, the most important thing to understand is the symbols of the three major religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, are literally on top of each other, within a mile of each other. You've got, with Christianity, you've got the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where Jesus Christ was buried or crucified. With Islam, you've got the Dome of the Rock, where Muhammad supposedly ascended to heaven. And with the Jews, you've got the Wailing Wall, which is massively significant. But the problem is they're literally, you can literally see them. They're within a mile of each other, probably less. And so if these three sites were separated by, 1,000 miles, you would not have the conflict like you have now. It's literally like if you had a dog and a cat and a bird and you locked them in a room for a week. Now, I own dogs. I own cats. I don't own any birds. They all would make a great pet. But if you left them in a room for a week, it wouldn't be pretty. And that's the situation. You've got these major cultural religious symbols and the people that are associated with that on top of each other. And that is why that area, unfortunately, is destined for conflict forever, because, you know, everybody thinks, hey, this is our sacred land. And unfortunately, they're all right and they're all wrong, but I just don't see a solution to this. It's a problem of geography, and if you go to Israel, it hits you smack in the face immediately. You're like, this is never going to work. And I just wanted to share that perspective as someone who spent time there. And again, Israel's a small state, and you know, you've got up in the Golan Heights. If you go up there, there's Syrian tanks literally pointed across the border. And then, you know, you've got Arab states, Syria and Egypt. So it's unfortunately a problem of geography and a clash of major, major religious symbolism that I don't see a way out. I don't see a resolution. And it's based upon that fact.
Gary, let me ask, when you were in Israel, did you have any fears? Did you ever think that at any moment some kind of attack could happen?
Well, Joe, you know, if you go up to the Golan Heights and you see those Syrian tanks pointed at you, it's a little unnerving. But I will tell you that Israel itself seemed very, very safe in the fact that when you fly in and out of the airport, the security is unparalleled. Now, when you go into every major building, any high rise, any hotel, there is someone at the doors with metal detectors everywhere. It's just a fact of life. You almost feel more secure because on every street corner is a 21-year-old Israeli serving in the military with an Uzi on their shoulder. So I guess it depends on how you define safe, but you certainly feel as though there's a security presence everywhere.
All right. Hey, Gary, appreciate that perspective. Gary in Orchard Park, 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the show. Let's go to the west side of Buffalo and speak with Dan. Hey, Dan, thanks for hanging on.
Hi, you want me to turn my speaker off?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Hey.
I'm not happy with my phone right now. If I could get it to light up, maybe. Okay. So the first thing, we're talking about the walls. And as we know, there's one here that's been in controversy. But border walls and border fortifications are around the world, and they're driven by necessity. The India-Bangladesh border, Turkey and Syria. Turkey and Syria have a neat one. It's just two rows of chain-link fences patrolled in between by an armored car. And it does work, and it is driven by necessity. We glued the gates, welded the gates in ours with the parts that got built open. And as the callers were talking about religion and religious symbols, what is the counterforce to religion? It's human nature. And I think that's really the sticky point right there. Religion tries to wrestle with human nature, but human nature is tough.
Dan, what do you mean by that?
What are the causes of crime and terrorism and war and everything? It's in the human nature problems. You know, our religion tells us that the Lord hates our pride. Well, we are big on pride. And nobody questions that because we're proud of our pride. I don't know. But you see everything from domestic disputes where cops get killed to the most major war you can play. And it's human nature driving that. You know, I mean, the college kids yell fascist at each other. People used to yell communist at each other. But socialism and fascism are so closely related. Every fascist movement and party grew out of socialist movements and parties. It was an expedient to power, and this is the thing: the lust for power, human nature. The religions are there to wrestle with human nature, and don't despise the symbols of the religion because we are the problem. Thank you, Joe.
All right, Dan. I don't know what to say, Tanner. I'm not sure what to say. We'll go on to Joe in Cheektowaga. Joe, what do you think of the conflict over going on this weekend?
Hey, good afternoon, Joe. I kind of agree with some of the callers. And of course, what we've seen is horrific here. But when it comes down to it, we kind of have to understand some things. And the question you propose about could this potentially happen here in the United States? And of course it could, but we kind of have to understand as to why Muslims in particular don't like us. It's not because that we're a Christian nation or because it's America. It's because of our relationship with Israel, this unwavering support we've given to Israel since its inception. And we fund them, we give them $4 billion a year. And what do? We get this unconditional money to them, where they go basically and turn a lot of this money into weapons to go around and kill Muslims. That's why Osama put a fatwa against us for 9/11. It's why Khalil Sheikh Mohammed, one of the terrorists of 9/11, admitted on record he wanted to attack the United States because of our relationship with Israel. And this is a big problem in American politics because one guy alluded to with Nikki Haley, all these neocons that are out there, they're all Zionists, they're all pro-Israel. And it's not really a benefit for the United States. It really is. Everything is on behalf of Israel. And even Kathy Hochul was putting out tweets like crazy over the weekend, this weird relationship. You know, if you're a single person out there, you want to get someone that looks at you the way our American politicians look at Israel. I mean, imagine what we could get done in America if our politicians were this adamant about the border or the economy or crime as they were running in Israel's defense. Because they're not innocent in all this. I mean, since 2008, we've seen close to 5,600 Palestinians murdered at behalf of the Israelis, well, to only about 250 Israelis. Now, I don't condone terrorism, but Gaza Strip is easily the world's greatest or biggest open-air prison. They're basically living under an occupation, and when you push people to such a point, I mean, what do you expect? They're not exactly friendly towards the Palestinians. The IDF wears shirts that says that has pregnant Muslim women in crosshairs that says two shots, one kill. They're not friendly towards them either. So this, in our media, we see a particular censored and curated version of a story that is sympathetic towards Israel. And it's like, well, hold on a second here, because they're not, you know, their hands are dirty in this too. But it's all tied in together with the Israel lobby, and all of our politicians are tied with it. And it's just not America first. We have to become America first. And I feel bad for a lot of the people, whether they're Israelis or Palestinians, because the Gaza Strip's getting bombed to hell right now. And that's wrong. But a quick point that I wanted to make was that a lot of the neocons in politics, a lot of the Zionist neocons like Ben Shapiro and all this, they were going off today. And we get browbeaten with this Holocaust narrative 24/7. And a lot of prominent neocons over Twitter and even on the news today were talking about turning the Gaza Strip into glass, turning the Gaza Strip into a parking lot. Well, hold on a second. I thought a Holocaust was bad. That's what we're always told. It's the worst thing to ever happen. But you have no problem with killing innocent Muslims? That's hypocritical. I mean, the senior editor of Breitbart did that. Joel Pollack over the weekend said we need to turn the Gaza Strip into glass. Shapiro, Mark Levin. So it's just kind of weird when the tables are turned, how all of a sudden people switch up.
Can I just ask you this? I mean, we've talked about the wall at the border of at the Gaza Strip in Israel, but I mean, anything you've said, I don't think gives an excuse to go and kill innocent people like Hamas did on Saturday.
No, I don't excuse terrorism, but when I said, like, the Israelis in particular, they do instigate. They went into this mosque over there. I forget the name of the mosque. Like, they invade church services on Muslims. They mess up on their Muslim holidays, too. They attack Palestinians. Prior in this year, 167 Palestinians were murdered by the Israelis. So before this weekend, nobody cared about the Palestinians. And all of a sudden, so the radical faction of that group finally says, you know what, we're going to have enough. And they do something about it. Now, everybody all of a sudden wants to nuke and care about it and jump on the side of Israel, but they're not innocent in all this. That's what I'm saying. I don't condone terrorism, but that's just what we see what's going on. It's a very complicated issue, but when you recognize Israel as a state, which I don't because I'm a Christian, okay, the new Israel is the Church of Jesus Christ. So I don't recognize that. Right. So it's a complicated thing. So yeah. That's all I got to say with that.
Joe, we've got a lot of different opinions on this. Yeah, I this is, and again, this is just from what I'm seeing in the coverage over the weekend and from the reading up I've done. I look at what's gone on over the weekend, and then in return, you are seeing members of Hamas use innocent women and children as shields, as human shields. I don't know. I see the video online and I say, there is just no way. I don't know how many of you can watch that and just not be sickened by it, and again, like I said, there's a lot of different opinions. We're seeing it now. We're seeing in major cities, people have rallied and are showing support for Palestine. And I look at that and I say, to me, that looks like you're showing support for Hamas. And after these videos, after seeing what they've done over the weekend, I don't know how anyone can do that. I just don't understand. I see on social media people putting supporting after this weekend. You're doing a rally of support. You see this video, you see innocent people killed, basically everyone that went to this music festival dead, and you're doing a rally in support. I can't see that. I can't see that. And then you see someone else at one of these rallies saying that we're not going to stop until Islam's in every home. And these are the things that I'm seeing at events in America today. Sam is also in Cheektowaga. Sam, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, how's it going? rarely are there things that make me call in, but this is one of them. I'm the oldest of five kids. My parents had this one thing where it was, if one of you do something and none of you guys are going to say we did it, you're all in trouble. And after seeing that tape of specifically one of the girls being dragged away yelling, don't kill me, don't kill me, I'm never going to forget that girl. I hate to say this. I know what probably happened to that girl, and it's going to bother me for the rest of my life. It really is. So for people to see that and be like, dude, don't get me wrong, I understand. Yes, the people in Palestine are living under tough situations, but there has to be a common level of human decency where you go, okay, women and children, we can't touch that. And for you to see that and go, yes, I stand with them, you have mothers. We all have mothers. We all have sisters. Like, that's just going to bother me. It really is. And my heart also goes out to my Muslim friends. Because when the one girl is getting chanted, dragged away, you hear people, I don't even know the proper saying, so I'm not going to try to repeat it, but you hear people repeating this phrase that you always hear. And it's like, dude, you are not helping your cause. And I just don't understand how people don't see this. Like, what we saw this weekend was so terrible. And for people to be like, I stand with them. You really just said you stand with someone who dragged a girl away in a car saying, please don't kill me? That makes no sense to me, man. It really doesn't. And I'm not trying to argue with everyone. I try to see nuance in life. But this one just hurts, man. Hey. That's really all I have to say.
Sam, human decency, I think, is a perfect way to put it, man. Thank you, Sam, in Cheektowaga. Yeah, I mean, again, I see these videos. I'm seeing innocent people killed. I'm seeing, you know, a music festival, just completely people being eliminated. 11 Americans among the dead in Israel. Again, I've heard, we've had all different opinions. I've heard people talk about the conditions in Gaza and that. But I don't know how, like Sam said, I don't know how you see these videos of Hamas just going and literally going into people's homes, killing them and dragging them and parading them around the streets. I don't know how you can then, like Sam said, go to one of these rallies and say, I stand with that. I see the videos. I see what's going on, and it's absolutely sickening to me. 803-0930, star 930. Like I said, if you have an opinion, we've had all different kinds of opinions. What's yours? And do you see something like this, an attack on America? You know, when I see stuff like this, I always say, could that happen here? It's been 22 years since 9/11. What do you think? 803-0930, star 930. Beamer in for Bowerly on WBEN.
Final segment here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Beamer in for Bowerly. As always, the final segment when I'm hosting, if I talked about it in the last 3.5 hours, you can call in 803-0930, star 930. Again, getting a lot of different opinions when it comes to the conflict in Israel. I've given my opinion. David gave some really good insight during his show today. If you missed any of that, go back on the Odyssey app or at WBEN.com. Obviously, he put it in terms a lot better than I could, and I thought it was very interesting perspective, very interesting insight. And if you missed any of that, if you have some free time this evening, definitely go back and take a listen to David's show. We will take one last call on this, and it's going to be Bill in Hamburg. Bill, what are your thoughts?
Joe, you had asked if we had seen any of the different pictures and things, and it's very tragic that I saw from the social media, you hit things like an entire family, maybe you saw the picture then that they had been, all of them, like five of them, father, mother, and like so two or three children just tragically killed. And then other issues, like you might have seen the man that was on the street in his car, and he was killed in his car, and then the terrorist let the car go off with the man, you know, still in the car. And the poor girl, anytime I see some young person, I'm almost thinking that it could have been like anyone else's, you know, sister or daughter, just without getting graphic. But like the one that was from Germany that went to go for the concert, and then you see her with a broken leg in the back of a truck and the guy with the beard sitting on top, you know, it's just terrible. And the other one that David said, you know, like the poor lady that was bleeding and then went into the car with all the rest of the guys. It's awful. But in some way, when people have beliefs and they have things like in their writings that they interpret literally that say things like, after the sacred months have passed, you know, slay the infidels wherever you find them and prepare for them every ambush. And it tells them, like, you're the best of peoples and these other people that you're going after are the worst, the vilest of creatures. If they actually take those words to heart and act on them, tragically, you see what happened here. And you ask, can we envision any of this happening ever, like in the United States? And we know what happened on our own 9/11. So you can even look up, like in Europe, like in Paris, they had a theater called the Bataclan. I even heard like our own Dr. Paul, who calls in sometimes, where he mentioned that. If you didn't, you could always look that up. It's like Bat A Clan, and same kind of a terrorist thing that happened to people there. But we have to really watch what's happening with our borders and make sure that people that are crossing, that we know what their thoughts are, what their ideology is, where they're coming from. Because I saw some other poster had said that, you know, intelligence sources had told her, take it or leave it or whatever, that they might be planning something like this, you know, within the next 12 or 14 months. We just have to really be vigilant and keep our eyes open. But it's a very sad and tragic thing. So I don't know what other thoughts you might have on your own.
It is, Bill, and you know, those videos, like I said, I think it really just gives a complete different perspective than we've seen before. Bill in Hamburg opens the line for you at 803-0930, *930. Bill also brought up the other, of course, I forgot exactly what I was going to say. And that always happens. But yeah, I mean, those videos, it puts it into a perspective. And again, it's absolutely heartbreaking. And, you know, not to get into a big political thing, because I try to as much as I can stay away from that. But not to get into a big political thing, but it really does remind you. And I don't care if you are a liberal, conservative, independent, I don't care where you stand politically, but it does remind you of, you know, having a established border is kind of important. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go off on that for the last 18 minutes of the show, but having a border, knowing who is coming into your country, is kind of important. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't care if it's Joe Biden, Donald Trump, I do not care who builds a wall, who secures the... I don't need someone to do it for political points for a party, okay? That's not what I need. But, you know, it does remind you that there are people out there that want to do harm to your country, right? And when you are just blindly letting people in because you don't want to lose the political battle... I'll say it again, it's insulting and it's dangerous. It's absolutely dangerous. And the fact that we have people in this country who are willing to put its citizens in danger to score political points for your party is outrageous. And it's the sad reminder of just how divisive our politics have gotten to where we think of the people who we elect think first, what will score me political points before thinking of anything else. And you can say, Joe, that's crazy. Joe, there's no proof of what you're saying. Come on. The actions of people we have elected, it's all about winning the political battle, winning the political debate, no matter the long-term consequences. And that goes for both sides of the political aisle. But when it comes to the border, and when it comes to securing our borders, you have people who care more about the political points than the safety of the country. And again, I don't understand it, because if there is someone that wants to do harm to America, they don't care if you're conservative or liberal. We're all Americans. And we should start acting like that. We should start acting like we're on the same team, like we're all Americans. It's just, you know, politics have gotten crazy when it used to be the minor things that we had our disagreements over, but now it's major things like border security. I mean, and you see the tragic things that are happening over in Israel. It might just be a reminder that a secure border is a lot more than your political points. And I'll leave it at that. 803-0930, star 930. Like I said, if I mentioned it in the last 3.5 hours, this is your time to talk about it. I don't like, and the current state of politics, not to bring it over to that, but the current state of politics, people always say, Joe, why do you say that? Why do you try to avoid overly political topics? Well, because they're just too divisive. They're just absolutely too divisive. I mean, politics has gotten, I say this all the time. I used to be such a nerd when it came to politics. I wrote an opinion piece in the Medina newspaper. Hopefully no one ever finds it because it was poorly written. But I wrote an opinion piece in the Medina newspaper. I used to talk politics all the time, nonstop every day. But the state of American politics, where it is in 2023, is embarrassing. And yes, I have my opinions. Right? I don't think it's newsflash to anyone that my opinions are center right. But politics, you know, politics and political debate, it used to be, I used to have fun with it, you know, and you know, I would always go into a debate knowing I wasn't going to change anyone's mind. But, you know, I have my opinions and I'd like to hear theirs. And we go, you know, okay, cool. Let's talk about something else. You know, oh, you want to talk about this? Oh, you know, I think Biden's done an awful job with this. Oh, well, you know, and the person defends it. And okay, now you want to talk about why Miami didn't kneel when they had a 3-point lead with 40 some seconds left. You know what I mean? But now, I mean, political debate, you rarely see people who go from a political debate to talking about something else. They're just so red in the face and so worked up and angry. I mean, I don't want to participate in that. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to, I know how I vote. I will continue to vote how I vote. I will at times campaign for certain people I think would be great in their position. But I don't want to, the meaningless debate with the person at a party, I don't want to get involved with that anymore. I don't want to ruin the party, right? If I'm at a party to watch the Bills play, I don't need this person next to me telling me why my opinions are awful, right? And it's just, we've gotten to the state now where, like, you don't gain anything out of a political debate. You have too many people that enter political debates. And I'm not talking about, you know, around election time. I'm talking about, you know, the random debate you have with a person at a football party or at a Bills tailgate. What are you gaining out of that? You're not going to change that person's mind. What are you gaining out of that? You're gaining nothing. And it used to happen to me all the time. And I finally said, yeah, I don't want to talk about this, right? If it's a big story, I'll talk about it here on the air. But I just try to avoid politics all day, every day, because it's just, we're not gaining anything from it. We're not. And, you know, again, I think around election time, there's meaningful discussion to have. It's good to get your opinion out there. I completely agree with that. But there's get your opinion out there every now and then. And then there's just sounding. Well, I don't want to say what I was going to say. But, you know, I mean, if you want to know where our politics have gotten, just read one of the many political blogs we have here in Western New York. And you know what you'll say? Hey, you know what? Maybe I should step away from politics for a few days. 803-0930, star 930, we'll get you on the air. But, you know, I mean, to just continue that or to put a cap on that, I still love following politics, right? That's why I host Hardline. I still like getting both sides of the debate. But there does come a time where you have to say, you know what? I'm stepping away. We're not talking politics for a few days. And I do think that's, again, maybe just to save yourself some sanity, step away from the political debate, you know, a few days. But don't worry. I mean, when it's in the news, I will talk about it. We are coming up on an election here in Erie County, and I plan on having both candidates on October 22nd. hoping to work the details out of that in the coming days. So, you know, I'm not saying never focus on politics. I'm just saying the daily political debate in this political climate, I don't think it's good for anyone, you know, and I think you do have to step away and talk about goofy things like what was on overnight television. And that was one of the topics I wanted to get to today. I might get to it tomorrow. You know, I love talking about the old Time Life paid programs, love songs of the 80s. But last night, my son could not sleep, and I did turn on some network TV in the early hours of the morning and saw a news story that I thought would be interesting to bring up. That is a tease for tomorrow. I'm not bringing it up now. That's a tease for tomorrow. But it also reminded me of a time, you know, when you would just be either sick or, you know, those nights where you just can't sleep, the nights where you're just up staring at the ceiling, then you're staring at the window, and you finally, you know, before cell phones, you finally said, I'm just going to turn the TV on. There's got to be something on TV, right? And you find some of the more comical paid programs or a show you didn't even know existed because it comes out at 2:30 every morning. So I want to get into that tomorrow. Like I said, obviously, if there's more breaking news, more important news, we'll get to that. You know, I'd like to mix other things in as well. I want to thank you all for the phone calls and for the texts throughout the show today. I did not expect to get the number of calls we got today because I know a lot of people are off of work. So thank you for giving a call. Thank you for sending a text in. Thank you for the social media interactions as well. Tom is off tomorrow, so I'm back in for Tom tomorrow. He will be back on Wednesday, so get ready for that. So you only have to deal with me one more day. And, you know, I always say Tuesday is the worst day of the week, but we'll get to it together. We will find a way to make Tuesday a more entertaining day. Can we say it that way? More entertaining day. We'll get you through it. Hope you have yourself a fine Monday afternoon. Again, I will plug this one more time. I thought David put some very gave some very interesting insight and perspective to the conflict over in Israel. If you missed any of that, you can find that on demand at WBEN.com and on the Odyssey app. So if you have some free time today, maybe go and check that out. Again, I'll be back tomorrow starting at 2 p.m. in for Mr. Tom Bowerly. Stay tuned. Brayton is next with Buffalo's Evening News. And then Armstrong and Getty will get you into the night. And don't forget to start your day at 5 a.m. with A New Morning with Susan Rose and Brian Mazurowski. Be Maz and Beamer with just Brian tomorrow, 9 to 10. David, 10 to 2. And like I said, I'll be back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Thank you for everything. We'll talk tomorrow here on News Radio 930 WBEN.